There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And who lived in a pineapple under the sea? Lee!
Hey,
Lee!
SquarePants.
How you doing? My daughter, I had to do that because my daughter, she goes, every time I hear that, I think that you're going to go into the SpongeBob song. But I don't think it even
terrible.
Starts with an and.
What?
I think it starts with... Does it start with an and? No.
It starts with a...
Okay, yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah. So, no, and that's really sad that both of us know way too much about the SpongeBob. How are you? I'm doing good. A couple more guests have started to be added. These are a little more, it's like 18 days at this point, which is just kind of amazing. Got some more, an FX makeup artist, Toby Sells, is being added. So he should be very interesting to watch and see, and some other people. And, you know, our schedules are finally starting to be... More set. I wouldn't say they're totally set, but they're more set. I like that. That's kind of fun. So that's where we are.
So you can. Good. You're going to go ahead and publish your
you know what?
Schedule
I
now?
Probably I may publish this weekend.
No, oh, this weekend. Oh, okay. This weekend,
not tonight.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sometime this week, I might.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It depends on how much you harass me, because you know I don't like being harassed. Because, you know, I have to do cleanup and stuff. And I have to clean up the schedule and clean up other things. And, you know, I kind of sometimes feel like the sci-fi janitors.
Oh, the sci-fi janitors? Oh, I love those guys.
I love them, too. You know what? But what's so funny?
No, I don't. What's so funny? SpongeBob?
You know what's so funny?
Oh.
No, SpongeBob is not funny. SpongeBob kills brain cells. But it actually does. Don't let your kids watch it.
Instead,
but you know what's really funny is that the puppetry director at Dragon Con?
Yeah, what about him?
He came up with the sci-fi janitors. He's kind of brilliant.
Well, if only we had somebody to talk to. So anyway, thank you for listening to another edition of what?
No, he's here.
No.
Here. So why don't you fan?
You're
so
joking.
Go on and fanboy all over him because you love the janitors. We know this.
I do. They're
you
really
love their
cool.
Little yellow outfits.
They're cool. They're very, very cool. It's a very, very... cool stuff. But again, I wish that somebody was here to talk about, but there isn't, so...
I already said he was here. What? Hey, Bo, how are you? He's being...
Hi,
rude.
Guys.
Hi.
Hey, Bo.
So, yes, this is our sci-fi janitor guy. So, but how is it...
He's the director of...
also the director of puppetry at DragonCon.
Yeah, those things you put hands in.
Are you ready?
It is, yeah, we're pretty much ready. Yeah, things have... solidified.
Yeah, just like everybody else.
Yeah, they're like, well, I guess it's, you know, I mean... Unless there are any other changes beyond my ability to foresee, because those happen. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the most important thing, that I am ready. Woohoo!
Well, things, you know how things change, and they're beyond your control, and you just have to roll with the punches and fix them as best you can in the programming and do what you can.
Yeah, well, and, you know, a lot of times those changes come because we get somebody added, which is never a bad thing. So that's always good. So, yeah, so puppetry, this is your third year?
This is the third year of the track and the fourth year of puppetry at DragonCon.
Okay.
In a way, sort of how things panned out. The interesting chronology of the puppetry track.
Well, want to go ahead and share that with us?
Sure. It's all because of Puppet Slams. The entire reason there's a puppetry track is because of these things called Puppet Slams. Mm-hmm. And a Puppet Slam is a variety show of puppet short. We call it short-form puppet theater, which just means that instead of a full-length puppet show, it is a small, short puppet show. Mm-hmm. So like a variety show, but that's only different puppet acts by a variety of artists. And I participated in Atlanta's local Puppet Slam, which used to be at Dad's Garage, hosted by Lucky Yates, who is now Krieger on Archer, that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I sort of cut my teeth in adult puppet theater. And at one point, I was hanging out with my game master, a guy named Michael Goodwin, who writes for Exalted and the Mummy, White Wolf Games and stuff. And we've been buddies for a long time. And I said, hey, man, you're such a great writer, and I do these puppet shows. How come we've never collaborated before? And he said, let's do it. So he came over one night, and we banged out a show, and it was the first Sci-Fi Janitors show. So Michael Goodwin actually sort of created the Sci-Fi Janitors with me. He created the idea of them as these sort of janitor guys who in the first show, they worked at Area 51. That was the shtick, was that one of them was the veteran janitor at Area 51, and then it was the new guy, and it was the new guy's first day on the job. And so that sort of created the dichotomy between what would become Bob and Carl, with the sort of jaded, older sort of character, and the young, naive, excitable character that is sort of Bob, and everything. So I teamed up with my buddy Matt Nitschke, who I went to high school with and is a great actor. He works at the Atlanta Shakespeare Tavern. Go see any show at the Atlanta Shakespeare Tavern, and yes, I guarantee you he'll probably be in it. And
they do wonderful, wonderful shows. It's dinner and a show, and it's wonderful, and it's right downtown, and everybody should go. Yes.
Everybody should go. Do they have any shows just prior to DragonCon by any chance?
Oh, they might. I'm not sure. Just check out their website and see what they're doing. I mean, they're always doing something. Well, they're usually doing like three things at once. That's sort of how it goes over there. But so Matt and I performed the first what would become the Sci-Fi Janitor show. It was originally just a show called Clean Up, was the title of the show. And we did it live at Dad's Garage, and it was as part of a night of other people performing. And it went over really well, and we kind of thought, like, man, this might have legs. We might want to do more of this. And we teamed up with Patrick Freeman, who was one of the creators of DragonCon TV, and banged out a couple of videos that would eventually become season one. We just sort of met, and we kind of had some scripts, and we kind of improvised stuff, and after that, that filming became season one of the Sci-Fi Janitors, and then that got on DragonCon TV. So that was 5 years ago,
right,
was when the Janitors sort of debuted on DragonCon TV. The Janitors became a sort of quick hit among fans because of the nature of DragonCon TV. Something shorter and sweeter seemed to hit the right button.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how DragonCon TV can rotate, you know, it rotates the same programming. So a lot of times you'll see something more than once, if not many times, over the course of DragonCon. And so there's a difference between seeing something that's 12 minutes long 20 times and seeing something that's a minute long 20 times.
Yeah.
After you've seen the 12-minute thing 20 times, you're kind of over it. But being shorter enabled us to sort of not wear out our welcome. And so people really liked it. So we leveraged the popularity of the puppet characters to ask DragonCon to let us do a puppet slam live, a live show.
Oh, okay.
With the janitors as hosts. And we did that 4 years ago. And now, go ahead.
Well, and I want to say that the puppet slam is very, as I remember, adult puppets. This is
correct.
More Avenue
These
Q,
are adult
not
shows.
Right, not yeah. Sesame Street.
I so, do have to. I do have to say something.
Puppet slams are for adults.
I do have to say something real quick because you mentioned Avenue Q, and this may remind me of something. I was just at my daughter's orientation for her high school, and it's in the theater, and then they had all these awards from the theater, and I guess 2 years ago, they performed Avenue Q. I'm trying to figure out how at a high school.
There are two versions of Avenue Q. There's a high school version that cuts out
everything,
all the
fun
stuff.
Parts.
It's the same. It's the same shtick. It's the same, you know, puppets, Sesame Street-esque puppets and humans living together on a street.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the internet, instead of the internet being for porn, it's for I forget. They just replace everything with something less adult. Like it's relatively the same show, and even some of the songs are very similar. They've just changed the details. Oh, really,
they kind of PG'd it instead of RX'd it.
Yeah. I guess I learned something new today.
Right,
so,
which is great because it's gotten a lot of kids in theater interested in puppetry, and I've taught a lot of workshops on that particular style of puppetry. Is very popular for theater kids because they all want to do Avenue Q. They all want to do Shrek the Musical, which has a handful of puppets in it too. There's a handful of musicals out there with a lot of puppet characters in them.
Yeah, I played.
So I've been able to train a lot of those actors. I tell them that, you know, you can be a triple threat in theater, which is when you can sing, you can act, and you can dance.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a quadruple threat if you're also a puppeteer. If you can act, sing, dance, and be a puppeteer, I just told him this another thing in your toolbox as a performer. If you can do this, it's going to set you apart from those other people who are trying to get that gig, you know?
Very cool. Very cool. We went down a topic, but you got in on the Puppet Slam, and then went very well.
The Puppet Slam went crazy good. We turned away 700 people the first year. We were in about a 500 person venue in the Hyatt, and the line went down the hall, out the door, down the street, around the corner. There's actually video of people going down the line, and you know, like, the fact that that many people, which is, you know, almost, you know, that 500 people got in and we turned 700 people away, that's a lot of people who wanted to go see a puppet show. Mm-hmm. You know, we never in a million years thought it would be that popular, but I guess people were just looking for something different. They went, ooh, adults, puppets, what is that? Because nobody really knew what to expect. And people were coming just to see the janitors because they were fans of them, and it was one of the first times we ever performed live with them. We did a panel where we do sort of like we make a little live show with a live studio audience that we do at DragonCon every year, and we're doing that again this year. But we never thought it would be as popular as it was. So after that, a couple of months later, I was contacted by Pat Henry, and he said, "Hey, so seems like people like this whole puppetry thing. Would you be interested in directing a new puppetry track, including programming for children?" And I said, "Absolutely." I had no idea what I was getting myself into, or how much work it was going to be. You know, I'd never directed a track. I'd never run convention stuff. I've done lots of puppet organizing, puppet events and things like that, but nothing on the scale. So it was a very large learning curve for me my first year.
Well, if it's any help, it's a large learning curve for every track director.
Yeah.
Heard this.
The puppetry track has a lot of unique challenges. You know, because with puppet shows, there's so much stuff. Like, that's one of the main challenges of our track is there's just so much stuff. Because there's puppets and sets, and everybody has to be mic'd because you're hiding behind something, so you can't just project a lot of times. So everybody needs lavalier wireless mics, and those things are in short supply. So it's very challenging to do the track and manage the amount of stuff that's required. You've got just tons of puppets and tons of sets and tons of just things that require a lot of organization.
Yes.
So you and Tech Ops become best of friends, right?
Yes. Well, very, very thankfully, Bill Harrison used to work at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Oh, well, there you go.
So he knows. So I'm extremely lucky because Bill knows what I'm talking about when I say I need this, this, and this. He knows why I need those things. Mm-hmm. Just me being demanding, it's that I actually really do need those things or this won't work. So I'm extremely appreciative to how understanding Bill is every year with our unique needs that the track has.
Well, and actually you bring up Tech Ops, and I don't think we're talking to Tech Ops. They're more than welcome to come on if they're listening to this. They just need to email me. But our Tech Ops is excellent at what they do, and they really do try to get you what you need. What's really funny is that we have so many people who will say something like, "Well, I need this," and you're like, "Yeah, do you really need that?"
So or do you want
that? We as directors have gotten very good at that, and they've gotten really good at training us to ask the right questions. I mean, you already knew the right questions, but for those of us that are not theater people, we don't always, but we've been trained very well by them to go, "Okay, wait, do you need a projector and a slide and a DVR?" Well, no, yeah, so it's kind
of
good.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the challenges of art, you know, it's because the puppets are small, you know.
Yeah.
They can oftentimes be very tiny little things, and if you're talking about doing the Puppet Slam in its incarnation now, where it's in a 1,000-person venue that we pack, mm-hmm. we pack that 1,000-person venue every year for the Puppet Slam.
Oh, and you still got a line going down the hallway and out into the street. I mean,
and last year's show, I let everybody who wanted to perform go. I didn't do a cutoff. I just said, you know, try to keep it under 10 minutes, and everybody got a chance to go. And we had about 13 acts. The show ran 3 hours long. It was crazy because the audience at that show is so good. They are the Dragon Con audience that comes to see the Puppet Slam And I do a lot of these puppet slams all the time, all year, all across the country. I do them at the National Puppetry Festival, where it's nothing but puppeteers in the audience. This audience is my absolute favorite audience ever.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And even when that show went on for 3 hours, and some people were like, okay, I didn't know I was getting in for a 3-hour show, and got up and left, more people immediately came in and filled those seats.
Yeah.
You know, they're so responsive, and I usually tell everybody who performs in the show, I say, you have a really unique opportunity. A, you're performing for 1,000 people. That does not happen. Dragon Con Puppet Slam is the only puppet slam that is that big in the entire world, mm-hmm. as far as I know. And I know a lot about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are the biggest audience.
This is your job along with your hobby. All right.
Right. This is the biggest audience a puppet slam performer will ever play to. Because, you know, how else, if you just did a puppet show, or if you just did a puppet slam at a theater,
mm-hmm.
A, it probably doesn't seat 1,000 people, and B, there's no way 1,000 people would show up. But because Dragon Con has a built-in audience of 62,000 people, getting 1,000 of those people to come see a puppet show isn't that hard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's so many people that are already there looking for something fun to do. And you're talking about a bunch of geeks and nerds at you know, midnight, who've been drinking already, who are coming to see a puppet show, and they love it. And we specifically tell the performers, you're performing for a bunch of drunk geeks and nerds. Use that. Play to your audience. Make your puppet show geeky. And there's something about when you... And I think this says a lot about sort of the popularity of the Sci-Fi Janitors, is that we're so used to media being targeted at sort of the lowest common denominator. You know, even stuff like The Big Bang Theory or you know, and Marvel movies and stuff, they're still targeted at a general audience. So what I tell the performers, I say, is don't play to a general audience. This is your one chance to make really specific jokes. Dig deep. Whatever. If you have a fandom, make a puppet show about your fandom. And I guarantee you there's going to be 100 people in the audience who are super passionate about that property that will lose their minds that you're doing a Babylon 5 puppet show. And they will freak out, and they will scream, and they will cheer, and they will cry. And it's amazing. And you never get that opportunity, ever, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, too, is because you have people that love obscure fandoms. You do. Because John is one of them. He is a big Gem fan from the 80s cartoons.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's a big Gem
fan.
Well,
it's truly outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Truly outrageous, yes.
Truly outrageous.
But that's it. Now, I have a question for you, because I'm wondering, because I love puppets, and I am wondering about our generation, and I'm making an assumption that we're all in the same generation, but is it because we grew up with them in a very, I mean, I grew up with them in Sesame Street, and Mr. Rogers, and Captain Kangaroo, even, and seeing puppets, and Muppets, of course. And now can I have adult puppets?
I think so. I think that it is a generational thing, but I also think that it's, you know, puppets have a unique ability to tell stories. And puppets have been, or puppets are universal. Puppets are part of every culture. You know, if you look at every that existed before, you know, culture started to intermingle, every culture has a history of some kind of puppet theater, whether it was for religious purposes, whether it was for tribal purposes, whether it was just for entertainment. You know, we say that what was the first puppet? And we generally say that the cavemen, when the caveman was telling a story to them, and they were all sitting around the fire, and he used his shadow cast by the fire on the wall to enhance the story. That was the first puppet, you know, because it wasn't him. It was a depiction of something else. And when, you know, and like, you know how when you walk closer to a light source or further away from a light source, your shadow will get bigger on the wall? Yeah. Puppets have an ability to transcend scale. So when that giant shadow of him on that wall isn't him, it's a bigger version of him, that's it. So there have always been puppets. And I believe firmly that as long as there are people, there will always be puppets. You know, there's something inherent about our desire to anthropomorphize the world around us, to make it into ways that we can something that we can understand. And puppets are a way to do that. And so I think that there's something very integral within us as humans. Now, as you were saying, I definitely believe that it's a generational thing. that we grew up being exposed to puppetry in TV and film. And that is sort of one of the goals of the puppetry track, to say, hey, you grew up and you were familiar with things with these puppets through TV and film. I'm going to show you what live puppet theater is. And ideally, you're going to go home to wherever it is that you're from, and you're going to go seek out the live puppet theater that's in your hometown. That's sort of one of the goals of the puppetry track, is to bring geeks in and say, hey, you like Yoda and the Muppets? Well, check it out. This is a puppet that's right there in you that you can see and could reach out and touch it. And there's a very different experience with live puppet theater than there is seeing puppets in TV and film.
Okay.
Cool. Now, so let me ask you about last year, you brought the Fraggles. This year, what are you doing to top that? Yes.
Well, basically you can't top that.
Right.
Fraggles, the Fraggles were magic. I mean, that's all there is to it. When we had the event where people were able to come and get the Fraggles print, the Fraggle print signed by Michael Frith and Karen and Kathy, and then got to pose with Red Mokey, people were crying. I mean, you know, it was maybe one of the things I've ever in my life that I've done that I'm most proud of. Watching those people come up to Karen and say, you know, you were such an, you, like, to talk, speaking about Red, that Red was the first real female role model that they had when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Red wasn't defined by the men in her life. She was her own person. You know, she wasn't there to be a sidekick. She wasn't there to be a love interest. She was her own character, you know, who had her own her own thing. And that was really unique back then, especially in children's entertainment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was really special to me. And I tried a lot of options this year, and a lot of them sadly fell through. So what we've got this year... Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's there are a lot of challenges to that genre of entertainer that are different than, because it's a two-part thing. It's you have to get the performer and you have to get the puppet, and a lot of times those two things are not connected anymore. So that can be very, very challenging. Mm-hmm. Now, what we are doing, which we're really excited about, is that Dragon Con is partnering with the Center for Puppetry Arts this year. And they are sponsoring the National Puppet Slam. So what the National Puppet Slam is it's the best puppet slam acts from across the entire country all together performing for three performances at the Center for Puppetry Arts Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, the same weekend as Dragon Con. So it's kind of like the Aquarium event, that it's another offsite event that is partnered with Dragon Con, although we're not doing the shuttles like the Aquarium does. But you can come, you know, and you can come on Thursday before Dragon Con properly starts. The Thursday tickets, I guarantee, will sell out sooner. But the way the National Puppet Slam works, go ahead.
Yeah, keep going. No, keep going. The way it works.
So there's these puppet slams all across the country, right? We have ours in Atlanta, and then most major cities have a puppet slam. That is the sort of puppet demographics of that city coming together to put on these crazy shows. And it's where a lot of new, exciting work comes from, and where a lot of, like, the next generation of puppeteers is sort of growing out of. I have my beginnings in Puppet Slam. So Heather Henson, who is the youngest daughter of Jim Henson, organizes the Puppet Slam Network. So she has this network that brings all of those Puppet Slams together, where we can communicate with each other, we can send artists to go perform in other cities, and we get grant money to perform these shows. So... a couple of years ago, we started the National Puppet Slam. Myself and Heather and a guy named Martian DeLellis, who sort of manages the Puppet Slam Network, started this idea of bringing the best Puppet Slam acts from across the country together to perform together. And so Dragon Con agreed to sponsor the show this year, and it has enabled us to have a much bigger budget to afford, because it's a really expensive show, because you're talking about flying 20-something people in to do a puppet show. Mm-hmm. And putting them up in hotels. So the arrangement was that basically a lot of my professionals, my attending pros this year, are the National Puppet Slam artists. So you're talking about some of the best cutting-edge puppeteers across the country are going to be the people teaching all the workshops and doing the presentations and things this year in the track.
Oh, that's very
cool.
So
it's super exciting. You can
go to
the
Dragon Con. What I wanted to tell people.
Okay.
Keep going.
You can go to the Dragon Con website under events, and there's a link that says National Puppet Slam. It has a couple of pictures of the acts that will be performing, and also has write-ups of all the different shows, as well as information on where the show is, when it is. It's at 8 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 18 and up, no kids, and a link for tickets to buy tickets from the Center for Puppetry Arts.
And if you are worried about, like, how do I get to the Center for Puppetry Arts, first of all, it's probably 2 to 3 miles from Dragon Con, as it were. It's down off
pretty
of... it's pretty close. And there are, it's MARTA. It is MARTA-able, too.
Yes.
If you get on the North Line,
absolutely,
which is right there at Peachtree Center, you go up either to, depending on how much you want to walk, and you can look at MARTA, you can go to Midtown or Art Center, and it's like...
Art Center.
Just
yeah, Art Center
blocks.
Is
yeah,
like
Art Center would be the
a handful
closest.
Of blocks away. It's yeah. a quick trip.
Yeah. yeah. And so it's so, it's really get. It is very easy to get there, honestly. So that's awesome yeah. that you guys are doing
so
that.
I highly
that's
recommend
what I was
it. The shows are phenomenal.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So you're saying
the,
that most
the
of your artists
works.
Are going to be there. So, yeah.
Yeah. So all the artists that are in that show, which are like the best in the country, will also be the people teaching all the workshops and doing the presentations and things. So each Puppet Slam, I contacted the Puppet Slams across the country, the curators. So like I'm the curator for the Atlanta Slam, and that's what we call the people who are in charge of the curators. So I contacted all the curators, and they nominated the top 5 pieces that they think came out of their slam in the last 2 or 3 years. So I got about 75 nominations from all of the different slams from across the country. And then I contacted those artists and I said, congratulations, you've been nominated. Please send me, you know, fill out this paperwork and send me a video of your show. And then I watched 75 puppet shows.
Oh, wow.
And picked about, yeah, it was great. You know, it is great. The shows are phenomenal. And I picked about 20 or I picked about I picked 19 that were the finalists out of those 75. And then myself and then the artistic direction team at the center, Liz Lee, the producer, Kristen Haverty, the associate producer, and John Ludwig, who is a world-renowned puppet artist, who is the artistic director at the center. He writes all the shows there. We put together a show. And it's important that people understand that those 19 shows that I picked as finalists are all phenomenal shows. But part of what the National Slam does is it needs to do a balance of comedy and drama, as mm-hmm. well as a balance to represent all the different puppetry styles. So where there may have been 5 really good shadow puppet performances, I'm only really going to pick 1 of those 5 shows, you know, to be in the show. So these are the 10 best shows that fit together best as a show, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It does,
you know, because it's still a show. It's not an award ceremony. It's a show. So, you know, the show has a flow of show that where, you know, we don't want to get too serious into like really heavy puppet theater, you know, kind of stuff. We also don't want it to be too comic and jokey and fart jokes or whatever, you know. And when people ask me a lot about what does adult puppet theater mean? This is a question I get asked a lot. You know, and everybody thinks, oh, adult puppet theater, you mean Avenue Q, you mean puppets cussing and having sex. And that is not what adult puppet theater means. Now, I'm not saying that that's not there. There's
yeah, right.
certainly, there's that's certainly part of it, but this is a great example that I always use. A really phenomenal puppet artist and dear friend of mine named Honey Goodenough, that is her name, it's not her stage name, has a show about what it's like about losing a child in childbirth. Mm-hmm. And it's told through metaphor, through the puppet. And that's what I mean when I say adult puppet theater. It's not for kids. It is subject matter that is targeted at adults, you know, and it's a beautiful piece of puppet theater. Now, there's not anything, you know, rude or adult about it. It's not that a kid couldn't see that show. It's that it's not that a kid's not going to get it. They're not going to walk away going with the power that that show has that tugs on your heartstrings and makes you cry. I cried the first time I saw that show. It's incredible. And we're talking about making the audience cry in under 5 minutes. And I think that's the power of Puppet Slam and short-form puppet theater is how do you move the audience in 7 minutes? How do you move the audience in 5? How do you move the audience in 2 minutes? You know?
Well, and I think that's one of the things, too, about any great art. I mean, I Avenue Q is kind of my – I've seen a little bit of the Puppet Slam, but Avenue Q is mine. And I cry every time. I've seen it now 3 or 4 times. And every time I cry – because I just feel terrible when he breaks the date with her and she's waiting on him.
Spoiler alert.
But, well, if you haven't known that, but that's fine. But because, you know, we go back to our own high school or college years. But and you know, I do cry, and that's great art that it can inflict those. And if you can do it with puppets, that's even, to me, there is something else there. Because, you know, you're not expecting puppets to be deep, and yet they are, and it can really, it can get to you, so that's great. Now, you've talked a lot about adult puppets. What, are there any things you are doing for kids or tweens or whatever? Yeah.
We do have some wonderful things. So I can go into my schedule here, and we'll pick some gems here. I will say that the strength of this year is that this year we have some amazing improv performers. So now I had no idea when I saw this show and picked it for the National Slam, I didn't know who these artists were. And there's a show with three ladies in it called the Mana Sisters. And only after talking to them and being like, hey, so there's this other thing you can do while you're in town for the National Slam called Dragon Con. They're sponsoring the show, so they're paying for your hotel and your airfare. It turns out that these three women are all Henson puppeteers out in California, and that two of them are performers in Henson's Puppet Up show. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but it's the Henson Alternative, which is a program that Brian Henson sort of heads up, that is adult-targeted material, and they have an improv show called Puppet Up that they do that's sort of in the style of Avenue Q, which we call overt puppetry. Overt puppetry is when you can see the puppeteer and we're not making an effort to be like, oh, you can't see me, I'm either dressed in black or I'm hiding behind the playboard. You know, you just accept that the performer's up there and you watch the puppet, and that's how it goes. So that show tours all across the country, and we actually have several Puppet Up performers as our guests this year. So we have two puppet improv shows, like we did last year. Both of those shows were phenomenally successful and have been upgraded to larger rooms this year. Both the kids show and the adult show. So these are really, really extremely professional improv performers and puppet improv performers that are doing these shows, even more so than last year. So we've got Lucky Yates, who's there, who you know from Archer, who is also a puppet improv guy. You've got Mark Muir, who is the voice of Commander Shepard from the BioShock games.
Oh my God, my son will be there.
Everybody loves Mark, and Mark will be there for those shows. He's phenomenal, as well as all these other wonderful performers. We have got Victor Yared and Paul McGinnis, who were there with us last year, Stacey Gordon, as well as the new Allison Mork, Donna Kimball, and Kristen Charney, who are all these other amazing, wonderful puppeteers. So I had many people tell me that it was the funniest thing they've ever seen at Dragon Con. I highly recommend those shows. We have one that's totally just for kids, and we have one for adults. The adult one is Friday night at 11:30, and the kids show is Sunday at 2:30 p.m. So
very,
I highly recommend those.
All schedules.
Those same performers. Go ahead.
All schedules are tentative. Go on.
Yeah, although pretty tentative. With that caveat, the other thing we're doing new is sort of based around the idea of that those shows were very popular. I wanted to do a puppet game show of something. That was sort of something I wanted to do last year that didn't really work out. So this year I said I really want to do a puppet game show. And I talked to Lucky and another guy, Jeffrey Swartzes, who's part of my track this year, and we're doing the puppet match game. So if you remember the match game show, it's that, but the panel of people are all puppets. And it's going to be hilarious. So I definitely guarantee you that the Puppet Match game is going to be one of the hot ticket items, and everybody should try to come see that. That's at 5:30 on Sunday, and is going to be hilarious. So those are some of the real,
game.
Like...
I love Match Game.
We're bringing the entertainment this year.
Oh, my God.
This year we are bringing the shows. We're going to have some really amazing, entertaining shows. So we've got those, and then we have the Marionette Cabaret, which we've had every year. Which is basically still short form, but it's just marionettes. And we got some really amazing performers lined up for that. And then immediately after that, we do Marionettes 101. So after you saw those puppets, you'll then actually get a chance to get up and try your hand on some marionettes and actually do it. Because marionettes are in a completely different beast than other styles of puppetry, and are very, very challenging and technical, and very, very interesting. And so that's a really great opportunity to see those performers do that, and then get a chance afterwards to actually get up and maybe interact with one. We say limited audience participation because obviously not everybody can get a chance, but it's definitely really exciting. And then we have a kid show called Puppy Locks and the Three Bears, which is a little Goldilocks, little twist on Goldilocks that's just for the kiddos, and that'll be Sunday at 10 a.m. So those are pretty much our performance type shows, not counting obviously the puppet slam. And then we do have a name guest that, see, that's the thing about puppeteers too, is you don't really know their names. You know their characters that they played on TV and movies and stuff, but you don't really know who those people are because you never see those people. So the science track managed to get Paul Zaloom, who you may know as Beekman from Beekman's World.
Yes.
Right. So that's really exciting. And when I found that out, I said, well, if the science track gets Paul Zaloom, I get Paul Zaloom. Because what a lot of people don't know is that Paul Zaloom is also a puppeteer and a phenomenal puppeteer. And actually, within the puppeteer circles, very famous. He's known for doing Beekman. In the general public, he's not generally known for his puppet work. So he will be doing a ventriloquist show. If you want to come see Beekman do a ventriloquist show, he'll be doing that on Sunday night, and that is an 18 and up show. So if you want to come see Beekman do an 18 and up ventriloquist show, that'll be a treat. And then he'll also be doing a panel on his career as a puppeteer. So we'll call it Beyond Beekman. So if you want to know all the amazing, wonderful work that Paul has done as a political satirist and solo performance artist and puppeteer that isn't related to Beekman, please come and check that out. And that'll be on Friday.
That's really cool. I did not know he was a puppeteer. So that's actually kind of neat.
Most people don't. Yeah.
And if Beekman is a little before a lot of people's time, but if you can find it, watch it. It was a great show to get kids interested in science. Science! Mm. And he was kind of a weird, wacky dude, which is always kids love.
Absolutely.
So, all right, John.
One of the questions that probably needs to be answered here is, where are you at con? Whereabouts is your main track room?
We're in the same room as we were in last year. So if you came and saw us last year, we're in the same room. It's Marriott A704. So basically, you know, that area in between the sky bridges, when you first go from if you're coming from the Hyatt and you get to the Marriott and you go past the blood drive, sort of on your way, you sort of see the blood drive on your left and you take a right and you go out into the Marriott lobbies. Mm-hmm. If you go past the blood drive, so instead of taking a right and going into the Marriott proper, hang a left, walk past the blood drive, and we'll be on your left in the corner is our room.
So you're actually over
it's
near
a great location.
Where...
Love it.
Yeah, so you're over near where Kaleidoscope is and Young Adult Lit.
Yes.
Yep. So that's kind of where they are. So that gives, if you have ever seen those, that gives you the idea. If you turn towards the bar at the Marriott, coming from the Hyatt or coming from the Habit Trails that are at Peachtree Center Food Court, you've turned the wrong way. Turn away from the bar to get to that track.
Yeah, I mean, people often forget that there actually is. Rooms. There are room. There is rooms
there
back
there.
There
are many rooms.
There is rooms
yes.
back there.
It's a great room.
There
I
are
love
rooms
the location because it's sort of off to the side. We don't have a ton of traffic right outside our door, which was the case our first year. We had a ton of traffic outside our door, which made it very hard for lines to form because we were blocking traffic. And we created lots of lines because our programming was very popular our first year. And so I really like that little spot. It's very central. You know, it's right between the Marriott, right between the Hyatt. It's real easy to get to. It's, you know, the heart of the convention. So I really like our location and was very happy that I was able to get it again this year.
Yay.
Cool. So Lee, go ahead and ask your question ask. Ask your normal question. Yes, I told you.
Okay.
I'm like a puppeteer manipulating
Lee.
All
the stars align. All the puppets are lined up perfectly. You get a couple of hours of free time. What would you love to be able to go see at Dragon Con during that little tiny, that window of heaven that opens for a free time for a drag director?
I have a little bit of time at night. And what I do during those hours are I generally go down to the gaming room. And because I'm a gamer at heart, and that's what I do. That's what I used to do at night. Because I used to be a big cosplayer. I've always worked Dragon Con since I was 16, in one way, shape, manner, or form. I used to work a comic book booth, Odin's Cosmic Bookshelf, and I used to hawk comics to people for 50 cents. We were the booth in the dealer's room that did the 50 cent comic book deal. If you have ever been past that booth, that was my booth. And so I always worked the con. So people are like, oh, how do I get tickets? I'm like, I don't actually know. I've never had to do that before. I've always just worked. And so I went directly from working the comic booth into being a track director. And so my schedule for Dragon Con for years, since I was 16, has been sell comics during the day, then cosplay, and then start partying, and then end up in the gaming room and play games with strangers. That's what I do. So if you are in the gaming room at night, you might find me in a game of Munchkin or Lunch Money or whatever else I might find myself in. I love playing pickup games with strangers and making friends.
Now,
that's part of my Dragon Con experience.
What is your games of choice?
What
are your games?
Farkle. I like Flux. Flux is, you know, a pretty accessible game for people who've never played games before. There's a handful of board games that I would play. You know, Munchkin. Lunch Money used to be my game of choice for the amount of acting you could do in it and sort of characters and stuff. I like those games where you can. There's a lot of fun adding in character details and descriptions and getting up and yelling and pointing and describing the terrible things that you're doing to these children on a playground. As you're a child too, caveat there that you are kids being terrible to each other on a playground. So I guess those are my sort of like card games and stuff that are a little easier and maybe less of a time commitment than a board game. But definitely walking around and looking at the costumes, you know, as a craftsman, myself as an old, you know, not that I don't costume very much anymore. I pretty much dedicate all my building time to puppets. And you know, when I'm talking to my puppet guests who've never been here before, I say, look, you guys are all craftsmen. I think that there's a level of craftsmanship at Dragon Con that you will respect and be in awe of as a fellow craftsperson. To see the kind of work that is being done out there on the floor is pretty amazing. So, you know, I try to, you know, not that you can explain Dragon Con to anybody, it's kind of pointless, but I do my best to. I have a survival guide that all my guests get that sort of lays out, you know, what to expect from Dragon Con, you know, how to survive, how not to, you know, how to make it to the end of the tunnel at the end. Because it can be sort of like Dragon Con's an ordeal, and you can either, and what I say is either you either learn how to ride the dragon or the dragon rides you.
There can be a bit of a sensory overload, especially your first couple of years. It really just is like, oh my, I can't take it all in. So yeah, it is tough. It is tough, but it's so much fun. You do try to work at it, so that's always good.
Yeah. I do have a couple other things I want to mention real quick.
Certainly.
Sure, please
do.
So definitely one of the things that started to happen, which I'm so excited about and trying to promote, is that people are starting to bring puppets to Dragon Con like costumes.
Yay!
It started happening a couple years ago, and it really gets me excited that this is becoming a thing. So last year we started our first event targeted at those people called the Magic Puppet Tea Party, and we're bringing the Magic Puppet Tea Party back. The Magic Puppet Tea Party is a social mixer for puppets only. You are not allowed in the door without a puppet. Okay?
Uh-oh.
And you can't have just taken off your sock and put it on your hand.
Yeah, and so last year we had it sort of like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and we got a lot of that. We got a lot of drunk people who were obviously, you know, there with the sock on their hand or a cup on their hand saying, I want to come to the party. And you had to be like, look, man, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but that's sort of not what we're doing here. You know, there's probably another event that is more to your liking, because that's not what this is for. This is for people who are honestly interested in puppetry. And so what it is the pros of the track are there with their puppets, sometimes famous puppets. Last year we had Tardy the Turtle from Greg the Bunny, if anybody's familiar with Greg the Bunny, just hanging out. You know, I was there with Carl as the janitor, and I had a couple of other different puppets that I used. But basically, it's puppets interacting with each other in character. And learning, so young, you know, amateur puppet people watching how the professional puppeteers just interact through their puppet and learning a lot through play. And we have little tea sets. We have all these little fake tea sets set up on the tables. And we have a mistress of ceremony, Stacey Gordon, and her little lamb puppet that have their beautiful little tea party hats on and gloves. And she's the hostess for the event. And so we made the Magic Tea Party earlier this year. It's actually at tea time. It's at 4 o'clock. And I think that'll help mitigate some of the drunk levels of people trying to participate.
Well, it is.
Putting it a little earlier.
What day is it?
We hope.
It's Saturday at 4 o'clock in the track room.
Yeah.
It's really fun and really special. You know, obviously, if you don't have a puppet, you're not invited. Sorry, but that's how it is. And so based on the popularity of that last year, we have another event called Puppet Coaching and Characterization, where you can bring a puppet that is your puppet, and you will get to talk to professional puppeteers and sort of, you know, they're going to be like, so tell me about your character in character. And then they'll give you some tips on like, well, tell me more. Like, what are this character's likes and dislikes? What is it like to do? And then they'll give you some manipulation critique as well. Like, okay, so your focus is a little off and your lip sync is a little off. Maybe try to do a little more like that. It'll help, you know, make the character more believable. So I think that do programming specific for people with puppets. And I'm very excited about that.
That is very
cool. So those are my two for people with puppets programming options.
Cool. Well,
that I wanted to make sure I got in.
Speaking of people with puppets, I'm going to ask you my last question, and I apologize in advance as I do this. If you could only, and we're going to go with obviously the most, if you could only have, I was going to specify Muppets, but if you could only have two puppets left on the planet, and you would never know that any of the other ones existed, so you wouldn't be sad about that. What two puppets would you like to have left in this world?
Like puppets from media?
Yeah. Not your own personal one.
I mean, you like puppets for different reasons. Sometimes you like puppets because they're beautifully created.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you like them for their character. You know, I would say that my favorite Muppets are Rolf and Sam the Eagle. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite Muppet characters.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've seen so many puppets just, you know, that I'm friends with, you know, that are characters that are my friend, that I'm friends with the puppeteers and things. And, mm-hmm. and so I know them on a more personal level than I know, like, Rolf. You know, I've never hung out with Rolf, but I've hung out with Cecil Sinclair, and I've, and so I don't know. That's a pretty difficult question to answer.
All right. Well, then let me limit it then just to Muppets, just to the classic Muppet Show Muppets. That way, you know, we're not necessarily offending anybody.
Then I would say Rolf, because as much as I love Sam as a character, uh-huh. he's not somebody I would want to hang out with. I would totally hang out with Rolf. He's like a real, you know, sort of salt of the earth kind of guy. And, you know, I can see, you know, kicking back and having a beer with him and just enjoying the mm-hmm. conversation. Whereas Sam's a little intense.
So who would be your second one then? From the Muppets again. Muppet Show.
I almost want to go with Walter. One of the new Muppets from the movies. Because, Peter Lins was our guest the first year of the Puppetry Track.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wasn't able to bring Walter because of, you know, reasons.
Lots of reasons.
but the idea of Walter being a fan and achieving his dream, which is, you know, to me made Peter such an amazing guest for the first year of the track, because Peter grew up as a fan of the Muppets and then did it. You know, like, and as fans, I think we can all relate to that, to mm-hmm. growing up watching and loving a property and someday dreaming and hoping that we could be a part of something that amazing, and he did it, And so I think that I have more in common with Walter than maybe, you know, other Muppet characters that I can relate to Walter in a way that maybe I can't with, you know, Kermit or Fozzie or somebody.
That's very interesting.
So I would say Walter.
Oh, cool.
He's a great guy.
So let me ask you, and this is, I know you've, you got a little one to take care of in just a moment, but, real quick, and this is sort of off Dragon Con and everything else, but how do you think that the Disney is handling the rebirth of the Muppets? Do you think it's going where you think
they're doing a pretty good job? I really enjoyed the first new Muppet movie. Mm-hmm. I have not seen Muppets Most Wanted yet.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately. Well, going to the movies is hard with children, as you know, you might know. So I have not made it sure that I get to go see movies when they come out, and I just haven't taken the time to watch the new one yet. But, you know, it's like, it can never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Star Wars movies. You can't go back. You can't ever be 13 again. You know, there's no way to to bottle the lightning again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they are doing a pretty good job with, you know, keeping the characters consistent and having the heart of what it is there. I thought that the new Muppet movie was very good. I teared up when they started pulling at your nostalgia strings. Mm-hmm. It worked on me. So I think they're doing a good job. And at least we're getting stuff, because there was such a dead period there for a while where nothing really happened. And the movies that were coming out were not that great. Like Muppet Wizard of Oz is not that good, you know. So at least they're not, you know, straight to DVD or TV specials. I will say that the Lady Gaga special was not that great.
Oof, no, it was not.
Yeah.
Well, I think I like about Disney is the first time I had the Muppet movie soundtrack, it was on an 8-track tape. So that tells you how long ago that was, folks. And it broke. And so I never had another one. And finally now I have one. And I listen to it in my car. And I sing along with all the songs and everything else. So I thank Disney for giving me some music back that meant a lot to me. So I always say that's good.
Aww.
Yeah.
It is.
You know.
It is.
All right. Well,
and I got to, and my son has now gotten to see the Muppet movie, the original, which to me is still the one I standard hold for everything. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Not that weird Christmas special they made?
No.
Okay.
Nor the Manhattan one, nor the Muppets in Space. No.
Oof, Muppets in Space.
Hey, there's some things. There's a lot to like from Muppets in Space.
There's a lot to like in a lot of things. So yeah.
But yeah. Then on the other, as a whole, though, I mean, come on.
As a whole, it's well. But the thing is, you can never go back. You know, yeah, it's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the Muppet Show again. It's never going to be able to feel like that. And so the best thing you can do is push forward and try to find what it's going to be like now. Because if you try to make it be like it was before to a degree, you will fail. You know, there's no way that those people aren't with us anymore. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just lost Jerry Nelson last year. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, you can't do it. You know, Frank Oz doesn't do it anymore. You know, it's just, it will never be like that again. And the people that those torches have been passed down to are doing the best that they can. And I think they're doing an admirable job and they're great people, you know?
Yeah,
so
cool. All right.
So remind us again where we can find you on the Facebooks or the Twitters and even in the hotel.
Okay, well, you can find us on Facebook. We have a group called the DragonCon Puppetry Track, where I sort of use it half to communicate with people involved in the track, as well as half to sort of share news and everything. Definitely what everybody should do is everybody should go look at the poster for the Puppet Slam at DragonCon this year, not the National Slam. But the poster for the late night Puppet Slam at DragonCon hosted by Bob and Carl is phenomenal. I brought on an amazing artist named Valerie Meese, who's I've worked with in the past, who's also a puppeteer, which is a huge distinction. And she basically took the poster for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and put the janitors on top of the TARDIS, and it has a million geek Easter eggs in that poster. It has got the, she has crammed so much awesome geek stuff into that poster. I almost see something every time I look at it. It is a beautiful, amazing piece of art. We'll have flyers in the Puppetry Track room. So definitely go check that out. We don't really do Twitter. Sometimes we do the Sci-Fi Janitor's Twitter at DragonCon. We'll have the puppetry merchandise table like we have in the past. This year it will be right outside our track room. Where all the artists that are part of the track are selling cool, unique creations that they've made. So if you want to come get something really, really unique and cool, come and get that stuff. And that helps a lot of those artists. You know, they got their airfare and their hotel covered, but there's a lot of other expenses that are incurred by attending DragonCon, as you know. So that helps mitigate those costs for them. So definitely come and check that out. And
will do. I didn't know you did that. Yeah. So that's awesome. So
it's really cool that DragonCon let us do it, because especially in years past, this year, you know, everybody's sort of being taken care of as being part of the National Slam, but a lot of my performers were performing, but they're not bands. So they don't get their own, and they don't have like CDs and t-shirts and stuff. They just have a couple of little knickknacks that they're selling, but that's not worth its own table. So DragonCon agreed to let me, you know, have this table that all of the people could sell stuff at, And I have a wonderful team of volunteers who staffs that table for us and helps, you know, because obviously people have to go do programming and they can't be at the table the whole time. So it's a really, really wonderful thing that DragonCon lets us do. And you can help support these artists who, you know, they do puppets for a living and that doesn't pay a whole lot. So if you can come and buy something from them, that's really great. And we'll have Sci-Fi Janitors t-shirts and buttons you can buy if you're a big fan of the Janitors.
John, so you can get a t-shirt. Too.
Yes, I can. I definitely can.
You can get a t-shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, you need one.
I will.
All right.
I will go get one.
And then, of course, you know, tons of other workshops on all different types of puppetry. You can learn how to do Muppet-style puppets. You can learn tabletop and Boon Raku puppets. You can puppet filmmaking. You can learn puppetry 101. We have a kids' puppet workshop on Sunday or on Monday. You can learn how to be a street performer with puppets, all that kind of stuff. So we've got tons of really great stuff. The track is packed. My track hardly has any dead time. No. Our track is very, very busy.
And we'll also give a shout-out pimping to the Shakespeare Tavern. They are doing at 10:30 p.m. on Friday.
Thursday,
shoot, called Much Ado About Nerddom. It's 10:30 p.m.
Part two. They
will have
drinks,
not have food. If you don't know, the Shakespeare Tavern is basically 3 or 4 blocks down from the hotels.
Or 5 blocks if you're stumbling. Go on.
Or 5 blocks
so
if you're stumbling.
Go see the Puppet Slam at Dragon Con at 8. You'll be out by 10. Make it over to the Shakespeare Tavern. Make a night of it.
Thursday. So you could do that.
Thursday
and
night.
That would be great. Because you would have time to get from point A to point B with no problem. So
totally
that would be something really good. And I think that because they even say that they're going to have some returning favorites, Right Club Atlanta, 3/4 Ale, Ninja Puppet Productions, as well as Burlesque and Magic and things like that. So sounds like a really fun Thursday night. So woohoo. But that doesn't mean Dragon Con starts on Thursday night, no matter what John says.
I believe
starts
it does. It starts at midnight.
kind of. Now that, I'll give you that point.
That's one of my favorite of the convention is being in the Marriott up in the Volt Lounge at midnight when everybody cheers. And it's like New Year's Eve when Dragon Con officially starts. That's one of my favorite things. That's like a convention moment now for me is I am there at midnight and I do that and I love it.
I have never heard it.
We might have to show up for that. That sounds like
usually
everybody. It's thousands of people all across that Marriott floor and everybody we do there's a countdown from 10, 10, 9, 8 and it's awesome. I love being a part of that.
I will have to make that a point to do that this year.
Yes,
so, after you've gone to the Shakespeare doohickey, then
back in time for midnight.
Just get back in time. Just for, yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right. Well, Bo, thank you so much for being on. And thank you for being on twice because we were having technical difficulties the other
one.
So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you all for having me.
Okay. Thank you, Bo. And as always, this is John for Bo and Lee saying until next time, peace
and bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.